Good day and welcome to the Q1 FY22 earnings conference call of UFlex Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Sharma from Quantum Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Janice. On behalf of Quantum Securities, we welcome you all to Quarter 1 FY22 Result Conference Call of UFlex Limited. We thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. The management is represented by Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, the Group CFO, and Mr. Yusuf Nasrullah, the Investor Relations. I now hand over the call to Mr. Yusuf Nasrullah. Over to you, Yusuf.
Thank you for hosting the call, Mr. Sharma. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you who have joined us today for Quarter 1 Earnings Call FY22 UFlex Limited. On the call today, we have our Group CFO, Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, who will be sharing his assessment of the performance we've posted on Saturday. Please note that today's discussions may include predictions, estimates, or other information that might be considered forward-looking. While these statements represent our current judgment on what the future holds, they are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. You are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which reflect our opinion only on as the date of this presentation. I would like to emphasize that the call should not be broadcasted or reproduced in any form or manner. We will open the floor to Q&A towards the end. Let me now briefly take you through the key highlights of Quarter 1 FY22. The company continued with its growth momentum and posted a consolidated net profit of 264 crores, surging 34.4% year-on-year. Consolidated EBITDA stood at 502.4 crore, rising 19.3% year-on-year. We clocked our highest ever quarterly production and revenue numbers. The consolidated total revenue registered for the quarter was 2,761 crores, an increase of 38.2% year-on-year. Total production volume was 1,38,876 metric tons, and total sales volume was 1,33,476 metric tons for a quarter. Both had a 30% year-on-year. We also commissioned our 10.4-meter wide BOPP trim line in Hungary with 42,000 tons per annum production capacity. I would now like to invite Mr. Bhatia to address the participants. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, friends. A very warm welcome to all of you. Q1 results are all before you. Again, you know, must say that an excellent quarter where the volume growth came very handy. You know, a 30% volume growth both on the production and sales side, you know, speaks for volumes by itself. On a year-on-year basis, there has been, improvement in EBITDA by 19%, PAT by 34%, revenues by 38%. So all those, you know, sort of numbers are before you. We also commissioned our Hungary first BOPP facility. And some of the, you know, the other aspects which I can share with you, our revenue mix of international and domestic is now, international is almost at an all-time high of about 60% of our revenue now comes from our offshore business and 40-41% from India business. EBITDA is also about 75% is coming from the 63% is coming from international business and about 37% comes from our domestic business. And the debt side, we are as on the end of this quarter, the debt numbers are the long term debt is about 3,300 odd crores, and at the end of FY22, with the extensions already announced, we're looking at a long term debt of about 3,700 crores, and the liquidity position is extremely good, and at most of the locations the working capital limits are not utilized. In the international locations, in the domestic the utilization levels are only 75 to 80%, and in Mexico, in our US, Poland, the working capital lines are fully available. They're not drawn, reflecting the strong liquidity position the company has. So we're not drawing any of the working capital requirements from the banks so far. So whatever is being given that all the businesses are generating a lot of cash flow, so the idea is to not to use those working capital facilities. The term that is obviously paid on their respective due dates. So the quarter also we saw some headwinds in the raw material prices in India as well as in overseas locations, and depending on India, we had about PET resin prices going up by about 6 odd %, the BOPP prices going up by about 8%. In some of the other jurisdictions also, we've seen the price increases on the raw material side, still we could keep a healthy EBITDA margin of little over 18%, and the margin vis-a-vis the sequential quarter was only lower because we had the trial run production coming out of our plant in Nigeria, which where we had an operating loss. So that loss has resulted in a dip in the EBITDA, and also we had certain incentives in JNK, which the government has stopped that scheme from 1st of April, while we are taking it up with them. But they've announced a new policy under which they want the promotion of investment to happen, and the past promotional scheme they have withdrawn. That's a bit challengeable, because till the time you have a deadline of some of those schemes, so if you just can't withdraw on the old businesses which had invested based on those commitments. And obviously we're talking to the government there, and we are also at an industry level who all those people who had invested based on those schemes are taking it up the matter with the government. But in the meanwhile, we've not accounted for any of those benefits coming our way from 1st of April 2020. That is, in nutshell, the highlights of the quarter. The volumes in the over the sequential quarter, the volumes in the packaging side were affected a bit due to the pandemic-induced lockdown in India. And because this time there was no panic buying, people knew that all the food items, everything else will still be available. So to that extent, as compared to the last year as well as on the sequential quarter, the demand was low, both for the aseptic packaging as well as for the flexible packaging. But as we see July and August, I think that momentum is now back after the lockdowns, after the opening up. But, you know, in this lockdown, you know, we definitely witnessed some slowdown in demand for the flexible packaging. Not on the film side, but, the film side, because the packaging business is largely confined to boundaries within India, except the small exports that we do. So there we saw a bit of demand pressures there in that particular market. So that's in nutshell, the update for this quarter, steady quarter, let's say, and consolidating on the the capacities that we have set up and what the way for the things to come. So obviously next quarter we have more volumes coming from the newly installed capacity. Overall, we still maintain our guidance of about 20% to 25% volume growth in FY22 over FY21, and Q1 is a testimony to that. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Prashant Sharma from Quantum Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. By the way, congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Sir, actually our sales went up by 38% and our sales volume went up by like 29-30%. So that does that mean we have taken a price increment? And can you please help us understand the market dynamics, in terms that if you take a price increment, does it come at the expense of volume?
No, so the revenue jumped by 38%, driven by the volume jump of about 30%, which means that, the rest of it is because of the price increases induced by the, as I said, the raw material prices went up during this period. So the rest of it is because of the price increases for the raw materials, which were passed on to the customers.
Yeah, but sir, if you look at the, gross margin, but our gross margin came under pressure in spite of the price increase that we have taken. Because, our gross margin, I think, is something around 43% as compared to 47% in Q1 FY21. So can you help us, understand how, even if we increase the prices, our gross margin is still under pressure?
Yeah, to that extent, I said that, the BOPET films the entire increase in the raw material prices was not, couldn't be passed on. In the BOPP, the price that was passed on was higher. So it's a mixed bag for the two, but then, also because, we had a lower volumes in the flexible packaging business. So overall costs get affected. So there was a bit of margins. Lesser margins because of the raw material price increases, which were not fully passed on.
Oh,
especially on the BOPET side. All other categories were probably, not so bad, but the BOPET films margins could not be entirely passed on. And also, we have to take into account that this was a period during which we also had to push additional volumes, get additional markets, get new more customers in and all that. So maybe a part of that would be attributable to that as well.
Okay. And so what's your future expectation regarding the gross margin? And do you think this raw material prices have peaked?
I think we'll talk about EBITDA margin rather than the gross margin. I think
Okay.
18%-20% is the range, is where, we will always be looking to maintain it. Some quarters, when the prices are going up for the raw material, in the flexible packaging side, because there is always a gap, so you are not able to pass on the full of that immediately. So it takes a while, but so the margins may be impacted. But when the prices are coming down, we get that advantage. While coming down the scale, so that improves the margins a bit. So Q1 was one of the quarters where the raw material prices were increasing. So there, you always have a lag in the flexible packaging business in terms of passing on those prices. And even in, films also, there is sometimes a lag, though not for those long periods what you have in the flexible packaging, where it would be, the lag could be as high as a quarter, but mostly it is in the packaging side, in the packaging film side, the lag is never that long.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shalu Ashija from Invest Research. Before that, I would like to remind all participants to please limit your question to two per participant. You may rejoin the question queue if you have a follow-up. Thank you. Over to you, ma'am.
Hello? Hello?
Yes. I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Good afternoon, sir. One clarity. Your voice was not audible. You said debt level would be... After March, you said debt level would be around 3,700 crores.
Yeah, 3,700 crore long-term debt at the end of FY22.
FY22, okay.
Given the projects that we've announced, so it will be, we obviously have for the Dharpad and some of the other investments we announced, there will be additional debt coming in. So it will be around 3,700 crores, the long-term debt on the...
Okay, and the current growth rate you mentioned for financial year 22?
We are looking at volume growth of about 20%, 20-odd percent.
Okay, and sir, in the last phone call, you said about volume growth of 60% for next 2 years. So how that will be achievable? Like for this?
We have additional capacities which got installed during FY21 and currently in FY22. As we ramp up those capacities. So utilizing those capacities, we are estimating that a much higher volume growth. So if you see Q1, there's a 30% growth already on the volume side, 38% on the revenue side. So I think this growth momentum, from our newly installed capacity, we're saying that 20-25% volume growth and revenue growth on a yearly basis for the next couple of years.
Quarter. Okay. And sir, as COVID situation got normalized, how we are seeing the situation going forward, like for prices, raw material prices and all?
Raw material prices after the last two quarters are pretty stable at this point in time. So we expect that, you know, they will soften a bit. But, you know, that momentum what they had in the last two quarters, especially in Q4, you know, where they went up as high as 30% or so, I think that is now coming to a level of normalcy. Post Q1, you know, we've not seen any much volatility in the raw material prices. Whatever is there is in a very, very manageable range.
Okay. So can we see a data margin of more than 19% or 20% in the coming quarter?
We will still continue to give a guidance of 18% to 20% range. Now, let's stay with that.
Okay, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of AL Ajay Kumar from UFlex. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Sir, good evening, sir.
Yes. Hello, sir.
Good evening. Sir, my question is, depreciation and interest part is continuously maintaining just like a profit. But we are not increasing the profits like in Cosmo Films or Polyplex Films or like that. We are continuously paying depreciation and from our profits and this. And since third quarter and fourth quarter, we were expecting to expand our business abroad, by expansion. But that numbers are not reflecting in the profit wise.
Well, the numbers are very much reflecting in the profit wise. You see the revenue growth of 38%.
So when you compare with Jindal Polyfilms, their profits are very high and their share value is going up, whereas UFlex is not going. There is some problem which I am having in my mind. Otherwise, this share should be in the range of 800 to 1000 rupees, but it is not at all going. Even after, in spite of very good results in the fourth quarter of financial 21, the share has gone only for one day, 20%. And then again, it has come down. The 20% profit which was there, it has come down. And now
Polyplex is a different story. They are looking to exit their business. So the exit valuations that you get as a shareholder are always much better than, the listed prices. So I think the investors there probably expect that, you know, when somebody comes and buys that company and they know the international benchmarks in terms of, what is the valuation, I think that's what is keeping driving their margin. I think we can only talk to you about our revenue growth, our margins comparable to some of the other players in the market. But, you know, that comparison is also not fully there because, you know, they are in one business segment. They are only in the packaging films. And that too, depending on, you know, which particular segment you are, whether you are making BOPP or BOPET films. So about 75% of our capacities are in BOPET film business, 25% are in BOPP film business. So, you know, the BOPET films have done very well in the last couple of years. The BOPP didn't do so well, but, you know, BOPP is now catching up. So these kind of momentum, you know, will keep on shifting. I'm not going to value on commenting on, you know, whether why our share price hasn't gone up, because, you know, that's not in my control. It's you people, shareholders, who believe in this, who are driving up the volumes and the prices. And That basis, you find that there is a compelling, valuation here. I think you free to draw your own decisions, but I certainly would not like to get into the valuation comparison between the various companies in this field. I told you the difference in the business models, the difference in what they do, what we do, what are the circumstances under which they are operating, including any possible, sort of divestment of the business. So all those parameters are different, and probably, the investors are always the most, knowledgeable people to take a decision and determine as to what is the value for the company.
Sir, my last question is, sir, at least if the value is not reflecting in the market, at least we can go for a stock split so that in the future we can go for buyback, because our company's equity is very little bigger than compared to other companies.
I think given the kind of growth momentum we are giving, a 30% kind of a revenue jump, you've seen a revenue jump in the last year as well. So, and the new investment plans that we have, I think the monies are all being flowed back into the growth opportunities that are there in the business. So I really don't think so that, any buyback or anything of that sort is on horizon. And obviously, as and when, the board will consider it, it will be, that information will be disseminated to all the shareholders and to the stock exchanges. But, at this forum, I will not be able to discuss, any which way that, what should the company do. We happy to listen to your suggestions and, consider it internally. But, obviously, there cannot be any, sort of comments from our side as to what is right or what is to be done. But I've only shared with you, given the growth momentum and the growth capital required, there's no thought process of any buyback at this stage.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. First of all, congratulations on a great set of numbers. So firstly, you were mentioning something on the operating loss in Nigeria, which we incurred during the trial run. So can you please quantify what was the operating loss?
No, Chirag, we are not going to share that minute detail information on this call.
So was it just limited to Q1, or is it going to extend Q1
Okay.
No, as in the current month, so we are already 1.5 months past for the Q2. So I just wanted to know that.
I don't have those numbers to share.
Okay, alright. And sir, what is the capacity utilization for all our newly commissioned capacities, namely Hungary, Poland and Egypt? So Hungary, I understand it was just in the last quarter, but Poland and Egypt, as we are operating for more than one quarter, so if you can share the capacity utilization.
So I think we had recently, Poland was for the quarter. Just give me a minute. Poland was about 85%
for Q1
overall.
Okay, and for Egypt?
Egypt was. Mm-hmm. Egypt was 80%.
80%.
Yeah.
This would be for the new capacity that we have put up, right? Or for the overall
overall.
For both the lines.
Yeah. So, Chirag, it does not happen that, you know, if your capacity is X and you have to, your demand is say 85% today, so what typically you would do is you will do the best optimization, maybe run the new plant which is more efficient and all that fully, and you know, underutilize a part of the existing one. So you know, it has to be taken in overall, not because of the new like now or purane mein itna hua. It never happens like that.
Got it. So for the coal engine, whatever numbers you have given, this is for the overall total capacity
overall,
in those regions.
Yeah.
Understood, sir. Got it. Now, sir, we have been doing an excellent job on the recycling part. For example, we have developed the fleximes, we are selling SAPS films, and we have also taken various other initiatives. And we are really proud to see all those initiatives, and we are like ahead of most of the companies in terms of those. So can you please throw some light on Asclepius Films, like what is the kind of sales volume we had in that for FY21? What is the growth we are seeing so far? If you can help me with some numbers, it would be better to understand the traction.
For which category?
Hello?
Chira?
Asclepius Films, which is this 90% PCR, and Asclepius Films.
Asclepius, okay. Chira, those numbers are more, from a point of view of capability statement, and while we can do that, and you know, we have the capability to make, but you know, when it comes to the company spending higher amounts in terms of their packaging cost, that's where, you know, while everybody, you see the top companies, they'll make announcements that next 2 years, next 5 years, this is their plan to go to recycling and all that. But when it comes to actually spending, it's very little. It's catching up, but, you know, again, it is very little. So I would say that at this point in time, take that more as a capability statement rather than any meaningful, utilization of those products because of the customer factor. So yes, capability.
So
is there.
At this point of time, the sales volume is not material.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, on the flexible packaging, you mentioned that there was some kind of a blip because of the second wave impact during Q1. So what was the production and sales volume growth on a sequential basis? If you can help me with that.
No, we're not sharing those numbers, Chirag.
So generally, you give this growth rates on the packaging, which helps us to, you know, get a tentative number for films as well as packaging out of the total production and sales volume we report every quarter. So...
So the packaging volume is up only 5% on a year-to-year basis, while we expected about 10% odd or so.
Okay, so on a YOY basis, you are saying 5%.
Yeah, growth.
Right. So maybe on a sequential basis, it would be down.
Yeah.
Understood. Right. Okay. Sir, on this, the recent further clarification which we have received from the government on single-use plastic ban, so any of our products fall into that category?
No, ek bhi nahi hai. Hamara product ek sirf usme jo tetra pack wala jo hai, plastic packaging hai. You know, we have a straw there which we will change to the paper straw. That's it.
Okay. Uske alawa, there is no product in our...
There's not even, yeah, in our portfolio.
It falls under single-use plastic ban.
Yeah.
Okay. So glad to hear that. Okay. And so, so do we, in context of the raw material procurement, namely the PET chips, are we procuring locally across all our geographies, or are we importing for some of our sites?
No. See, depends on the region. Like Dubai will be 100% imported, either from India or from Middle Eastern region. I think more or less you can say about 90% is always sourced locally, more than 90% itself. And 5-10%, depending on, you know, if we get from some cheaper jurisdictions, some price arbitrage over local buying and all that, that's what is happening. But mostly it is locally sourced.
Okay. 90 to 10, right, understood.
Yeah.
And so just one last clarification on the debt. Right, got it. So one just last clarification on the debt number. So you mentioned that the peak long-term debt will be 3700 crores by the end of this fiscal. So so if I compare it with March 21, we will have an incremental debt of 700 crores, right, for the long-term?
Yeah.
Okay, and that would be the total debt, right, on for the short-term?
So the working capital is separate. So the working capital is separate, which is difficult to predict depending on the raw material and the other prices. So, you know, that depends on the raw material. As I said that before the call, that, you know, some of the working capital debt today in US, in Mexico, in Poland, is totally, utilization levels are zero because, you know, there's so much of cash being thrown in all these jurisdictions. So actually depending on, you know, what the raw material prices are, but the endeavor is to, you know, not use a very high level of borrowing. India, as I said, about utilization level of fund days limits are about 75% odd or so.
Okay, understood. All right, sir, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you for answering the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shanti Patel from Shanti Patel Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is, are we, our profit margin in respect of various verticals, will it continue or increase in the remaining period? And secondly, what is our market share in respect of various verticals in India? No, I'm not talking international, in India.
See, in India, in the packaging, flexible packaging business, we are number one, I think, our market share. So there are organized markets, there are unorganized markets there, which are locally, you know, the small regional brands and all that. So while we have, you know, we don't have any information available for the unorganized market, but the organized markets, you know, which are where the numbers are known, I think our market share should be close to about 22-23% in that. And in the packaging film business, we are the largest, you know, BOPET seller in the country. BOPP, we don't have much of a presence. Our India, you know, our capacity of the BOPP is quite less. India, we do only about 30,000 tons of BOPP, while overseas we do about 120,000 tons of BOPP. So India capacity is fairly less. In the aseptic packaging business, we are number two because there are only two players, and the Tetra Pak is obviously the market leader there, and you know we very small in that. So if that's say about a 12 billion packs market, you can say for the whole year, so we'll do about 3 billion packs a year over in that particular market.
And sir, what about margin? Are we going to maintain margin in respect of all these verticals? taking international turnover also overall.
So as I said, as I earlier said, that you know, at this point in time, looking at the pricing, the margins, the demand supply, 18% to 20% margin is what seems
because
what we can foresee in the.
I have been told that BOPP margins are going down.
BOPP margins are going up.
Okay, going up.
Okay. Gone up in the Q4. They have gone up in Q1 of FY22. BOPP films margins have come down in the Q1 over the Q4 of last year.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mithun Aswath from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Please say your question.
Yes. Yeah. My question is more in terms of, you know, in the last couple of quarters, in the last 1 year, we've seen margins appreciably be higher for most of the packaging companies. I just wanted to know about what is the sustainability of this and what has changed in the marketplace? Has there been consolidation in the industry? What is your sense? Because we're obviously much higher than what we've been on average over the last 7-8 years. So just wanted your thoughts on that.
No, so I think for that, you'll have to go back to the year 2010-11. Where, you know, the packaging films, the thin packaging films which are used for packaging, you know, the margins skyrocketed and, you know, the payback period for the investment came down to as little as 2 years time frame. So that's the genesis of, you know, where, you know, a lot of capacities got installed during that period. And then, you know, till 2016-17, there was the sort of under utilization of capacity leading to, you know, erosion of the margins. So that was the period during which the margins were very low, which normally are not, and the payback periods for the new investment became as high as 10-11 years kind of stuff. Now since then, 2017 to 2020, there have been you know, not significant capacities have come up. You know, the capacity expansion has been very, very rational, which has led to higher capacity utilization of the existing facility. And with the growing capacity utilization level across the industry, so that gave a more pricing power to the industry as such. So typically, I would not say that, you know, the pricing, you know, if the margins are, say, 10-11% kind of an EBITDA margin, that's a low margin. So 21-22% are a bit of a higher margin. But 18-19% is the kind of, a, you know, margin one should be happy with on a long-term basis. So yes, you will find again that, you know, when there is a bunching of capacities, you will find the margins dipping. But if you take a sort of a 10 years kind of an average and you are at between 18% or so, that should make you happy to be in the business.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshana Shah from Balaji Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. The question is that there is a good cash flow, still interest cost is not reducing.
Ma'am, I'm
can't
so
hear
sorry
you.
To interrupt, but your audio is not clearly audible, ma'am. We are not able to hear you well.
Hello.
Requesting you to please be handset mode, ma'am.
So, yeh na, ma'am, log na, jo bhi investors hai, baar baar hello hello kehte hai. So, I think it's a general issue that, you know, when you say hello, you must immediately respond and say that we can hear you. So, then that is, so we don't know whether we are being audible or not. So, I'll request you to kindly immediately prompt them that yes,
sure,
we can hear you.
I'll do that. Also, Ms. Tarshana Shah, if you can hear us, we are unable to hear you, ma'am. Requesting you to please dial back from a different number and you can join back in the question queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Sir, just one more data point on the Hungary. So what was the capacity utilization for the newly commissioned plant and what is it currently? Like, are we seeing a faster ramp-up because of the robust demand?
Yeah. So Hungary ramp-up has been quite good. So no worries on that part. I think, the momentum in VOPP helped us during this initial startup period. So they are doing pretty well, Chirag.
Okay, so what is the current capacity utilization, sir?
Chirag, aapna pura yahi pe t-shirt click loge.
Abhi ka nahi ho to is Q1 because you have the data set for Q1. So Q1 mein what was the capacity utilization?
Seventy percent.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of VL Ajay Kumar from Uflex. Please go ahead. Ms. Ajay Kumar, you may go ahead, sir. As there's no response from the current participant, we take the next question from the line of Sunny Gosar from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have two questions. First one is, assuming all our plants operate at optimum capacity, what is the quarterly volume run rate that we can look at? Versus the current run rate of say about 1.35 lakh metric ton, what is the peak quarterly number that we can look at?
We can go to about 160.
So we have about 25-30% room on the current quarterly base.
Yeah.
And this includes the Dharwad plant or Dharwad will be in?
No. Okay. All those new extensions are separate.
Okay. Sure. My second question is, out of the, I think, 1,000 or 1,100 crore capex between Dharwad and aseptic line plus Dubai, what would be the split between FY22 and FY23? And does this also include any maintenance capex, this number include the maintenance capex?
The maintenance capex is always different than the the growth capex. You know that, and the maintenance capex, you know that 150 odd crores average you can take on a average basis. No,
sure. So, sir, what would be the split of this 1,000 crores between FY22 and FY23?
I don't have that.
Color you can give in terms of the quantum of split, whether it will be front-ended or back-ended in that sense?
Back-ended hoga, hamesha back-ended hoga. So FY23 mein jada jayega.
Right. In terms of the outflow will be more FY23. So I was just trying to understand from a cash flow perspective that how much cash flow will be required for capex in FY22 and that is why the split would have been quite helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhang Agarwal from Equitas India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So firstly, I just wanted a bit more understanding on the margins. So you did mention that in Q1, BOPP margins were higher and BOPET margins were lower. But what is the current state of affairs? Has the margin gone higher in BOPP and what's the trend in BOPET right now?
I'm unable to comment on the current state of margins given that, it is it's a quarter which is running. So, I'll find it difficult to, share the current thing. But, overall, I can say that for the industry, it's the same trend which is there in Q1 is likely to be in Q2 also.
Fair enough. Sir, secondly, I wanted to know your view on the current demand-supply situation globally. Considering a lot of lines are expected to come up in the current year in BOPET, and few more lines are expected in BOPP also. So going ahead, what's your view or two bits on the demand-supply situation that we may see?
So there's not much which is happening in FY 2022 on the capacity expansion side. But FY 2023, yes, there'll be new capacity which will get commissioned, including our capacity as well at Dharwad. So there may be a bit of impact on the demand-supply at that point in time. But overseas markets look to be not in much of oversupply or any capacity rampant expansion issues and all that. So India in FY 2023, we may have an oversupply situation which will depend on, and the freight rates are frankly doubled or even tripled in the last 1 year or so. And with the supply chain issues coming out of the pandemic, so producing in low-cost jurisdictions and exporting to where the consumption centers are, I think there'll be challenges in that model, given the much higher freight rates and also the supply chain situation from there. So I think 2022 looks like there are no capacity expansion impact coming into play.
Great, great. And sir, lastly, on the Nigeria bit, so are we expecting the commissioning happening in this quarter itself?
Yeah.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarun, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Just have a question regarding the cash deployment strategy of the company. With respect to the profit that we are likely to generate in FY 2022, and assuming that around 500 crore we are likely to spend on CapEx, out of which, Mr. Rajesh, you have already mentioned around 400 crore will be with additional debt. What are we going to do with so much cash that the company is surplus cash that the company is going to generate in FY 2022?
So I think what has happened is, one, I said that what we've done is we're not utilizing our working capital. So if you see Q4 and current quarter, there has been a substantial increase in the raw material costs, increase in the prices, which means that overall your investment in working capital is going up a little. And frankly, at this stage, we've not drawn on any of the facilities, though that is an end plan. So what we've used is our internal cash to pay up for some of the initial advances and the land that we've acquired or the other initial expenses which we are doing. So towards the later part of the year, we will see that in terms of our commitments on those lines, because overseas lenders, there are always commitment charges to be paid. Depending on the cash flow scenario, what's deployed in the working capital, what are the costs associated with that, we'll take a closer view as to we need to draw down on the debt in FY 2022 itself or maybe postpone this to the next year. But, you know, as of now, whole investment, what's happening in these facilities is all, you know, is more or less internally funded, as well as the whole increase in the working capital cycle, which has happened in the last two quarters. And despite that, you know, the liquidity position is good, as I said, that, you know, the working capital utilization is extremely low.
I get your point. I mean, the volatility in raw material price is one of the variant. But, sir, agar aap dekhe, if you see for 2022, if I look at the total cash flow from operation that you're likely to generate, 1400 crores, that is a massive number, around 1000 crore profit and D&A of around 400 crores, so 1500 crores of net cash that you will generate, assuming that the raw material prices remain more or less where they are. And given the outlook that we have on the raw material and crude oil prices, we don't see that moving around 50% from where we are right now, at least for the next 6 to 9 months. Plus, you have around 650 crore of cash that is lying on the books. So 2000 plus crores of cash, that is a massive number. I mean, there should be some policy, some guidance in terms of what you are internally planning to do with so much cash. It's approximately around 50% of the market cap of the company, sir.
No, but, you know, as I said that, you know, at this stage, what we are doing is only, you know, whatever the cash is being deployed in the working capital and in the CapEx projects is all being largely funded by the company itself. Towards the end of the year, we will take a call as to, you know, what do we do in terms of availing the various you know, financing tires we have for this, and that's the call we'll take it probably in the third quarter or the fourth quarter of the year, depending on, you know, what are the business dynamics. At this stage, very difficult to say anything, but I just told you currently how we are utilizing the cash.
Just last question. The cash that is lying on the books of the company, what are you doing with that cash? Is it invested in some kind of debt mutual fund, or where exactly is that money found, and what kind of return are we generating?
Partially it is, you know, deployed in the short-term instruments or bank deposits. But, you know, because we don't keep it, so, you know, the ideal is to keep lowering your working capital business, working capital requirements, you know, to the extent you have that opportunity to reduce your working capital or to pay for cash advances to the customers in terms of getting some price benefits, that's what it will be optimized for us.
Sir, fair enough. If I may ask one last question. Sir, typically...
Yeah, please.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, sir. So typically, if I look at this industry as a whole, packaging industry in India as a whole, I can just draw it out into two buckets right now. So one is Uflex and Jindal Poly, and the other is Cosmo and Polyplex. So basically, I'm comparing in terms of the how the market is perceiving these two buckets of company, how they are valuing this company. If I look at Polyplex and Cosmo, they are trading at 10 plus PE, while Uflex and Jindal, I will not comment on Jindal right now. You can look at the numbers on your own. But Uflex is trading at around 4 times price to earning. So market mein aisa tab hota hai na, jab market has concern about two broad things. One is if the company is highly leveraged, or there are questions on the corporate governance of the company. I presume in terms of leverage, you have clearly indicated in previous calls that you have no intention to pay down debt because it's cheap debt. And you want to load the balance sheet with leverage and make the best use of that. That we can't question anyway. What are you trying to do in terms of, if at all there is a perception in the market, in terms of governance standard, basically if arriving from what you have been doing in terms of distributing the cash to the shareholders. I mean, last year we generated around 800 crores cash. We paid around 15 crores, only 15 crores to the shareholders. So what is the measure? What is the board's thinking in terms of, if at all there is a market perception about governance standards or question marks around that, how are you trying to address that and make sure that minority shareholders of the company are rewarded for that trust in the company? So that's the last question for me. Thank you so much, sir.
See, I don't think so that, you know, first of all, I did answer earlier on the call as to what's happening in one of the competitors, and, you know, I would not like to get into that because they are in a currently looking at divesting the promoters looking to divest that, and I said that, you know, the exit valuations are always different from the other valuations. One other company which you named has also said that, you know, they will expand into FMCG, which is totally unrelated line of business. I think coming to the corporate governance side of this thing, I don't think so that there is anything which is different between us and some of those companies. You know, rather I would say that, you know, the kind of steps we've taken in the last few years in terms of having EY as an internal auditor, and we also decided now to have BDO as our statutory auditor for the UFLEX. So I think all these are positive. Now, at what stage the market takes cognizance of that, or, you know, you as a shareholder find that, you know, and this is what typically I've seen, that, you know, the mentality in your community is also, if SBI is trading at X, and, you know, Bank of Baroda is taking at different multiple, you guys try to find out the reason as to why there is a, you know, valuation mismatch. And if there are no demerits, so, you know, the valuation catches up to, of the alternate securities catches up to that, or the market, you know, takes. So I have no reasons to say that, you know, why should we be less than some of our competitors in terms of our governance or the debt numbers and all that. But, you know, you are the guys who invest and you're the best judge by themselves, looking at quality of earnings, the quality of the management discussions and all that as to what's the way I come in. And if all of you collectively feel that we find this as a better play, because while the packaging films, it may be still a commoditized business, but the packaging business is it's a B2B, but, you know, that commands different valuations, or you feel that no, that business margins are not so great at this point in time, and when the margins will improve in that set of business, that's the time to look at that. I'll leave it to your fine judgment. But on a governance side, on and all any other parameter, I think we may be better than some of many of the other industry players, and not worse than them. In terms of our distribution of the cash, I think it all is a matter of whether you want to grow or you want to distribute that cash back to the shareholders. I think we undertook a very major expansion, the kind of what was unheard of in the UTX history. 2 years back, where we would have spent close to about $400 odd million in terms of setting up these new facilities, and then, you know, the additional working capital that these businesses require initially and during the sustenance phase. So and the debt levels to EBITDA numbers, even without all these capacities getting commissioned, but the full debt drawn, is still less than 2:1. Our net debt to EBITDA as on March 31 was 1.8. So I think overall the business is good. You know, I'm part of this organization now for more than 4 years. I mean, come from our previous organizations as Jindal Steel and Power or Dalmia Cement or Reliance or you know, the DCM Group and all that. So I really don't find that, you know, there is you should be concerned about any of the governance issues. You don't become the, and you don't remain the largest player in your business category, howsoever, you know, small that business may be, if you are not committed to that business. You know, I feel that even if you are polishing shoes, if you are not committed to your business and you're not on it 100%, you can't be a market leader in that. And we are market leaders in India. We market leaders globally. We got into new product lines such as aseptic, and, you know, we proved ourselves there also. So I think it's really up to you guys to actually now think of, you know, maybe there may be some age-old perceptions you guys may still have. Come over those and think positively think beyond any governance or other issues. We trying to do our best in terms of addressing, you know, if there were, you know, issues where, you know, some of our auditors on the internal or the external side were probably not to your liking. We've addressed those concerns. We have a fairly independent board where there's only one person from the family on the board. So we are performing, we are the market leaders in many business categories. Rest I have to leave to all of you guys to, you know, make up your mind in terms of where you want to invest. And if you see value, obviously you invest. You'll not invest because you like Mr. Bhatia or somebody else in the organization. You will invest only if you know that, you know, you'll grow your money over him.
Sir, thanks. Thank you, sir, for this elaborate answer. Just to add, sir, we as an individual investor are small players. I mean, it has to only come from management action in terms of how they perceive their company to be, how they value their company. Just in terms of, if you look at your peer, Cosmophil did the same thing last year. They did a huge buyback, not a substantial one, but they gave a clear indication to the company, to the market participants, that the market is not valuing them properly. This is what they believe is the true value of the company, and they showed the market what the true value of the company is. And we have seen what has happened in the
Polyplex
market.
Polyplex did that.
So Cosmo did the buyback. So Polyplex has done around 200 rupees of share holder. They have paid 200 rupees share dividend in last 1 year, 2021 itself,
sir. Yeah.
That's a massive number. So that's the one area that I wanted to highlight to you. That's all from me, sir. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
Okay. And I can only tell you that both these names that you mentioned, you know, they have their own set of issues in terms of the succession and others and all that. And, you know, I always told you that the exit valuation is always different from the valuation at which you remain in the business. So, you know, the names that you said that, you know, till about a year ago, I think they were not trading at these sort of levels and all that. And maybe the market smell something else, you know, happening in these companies, you know, that's where the numbers have changed all of a sudden in the last 1 year.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of VL Ajay Kumar from Uflex Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, sir. Sir, my question was, every time, every quarter or last year, 1600 crores of amount has gone for depreciation. That's a huge amount. So what this amount like this, sir? And this time, this quarter also, 127 crores depreciation is taking place. And every time we are trying to go for capex, but there is no interest coming down or depreciation coming down?
Depreciation never comes down, ji. Depreciation is a charge where you have already invested in the assets, and then it's a statutory rate of depreciation that you're going to apply to your asset base, and that remains for there. You know, at least when you set up the assets for the 20 years odd or so, even if you depreciate the asset at, say, 5% or so. So this charge is always static. So it's not a case only with UFlex, it's the case with every company. So unless you sell off your assets, this is a charge which is going to be there, you know, till the time the asset is on your books. So I really don't understand the question, but you know.
The interest part is always constantly maintaining, since now you have only four places you have increased the product, trying to increase the production, but this thing, that is Nigeria, Egypt, Poland, and the other place, sir. What is the other place, sir?
Yeah. Hungary.
Hungary. Yeah, Hungary, Poland, Nigeria.
Egypt.
Egypt. So there is only two places we have mentioned, sir. What about the Nigeria? They have done this quarter. The other one place, sir? Egypt, where there is no production, sir? Explain.
I think you were not on the call. I mentioned that Egypt may, we including the new plant, the capacity utilization levels are pretty high, at about 81% or so.
Yes, sir, this thing. The other one, sir? Other three, two, that is Poland and.
I said all that, so I mentioned all that already. And I would
Sir, the
not
interest
like
part,
to repeat
sir, the interest.
When this is uploaded on the website, you can have
Okay, sir. Sir, the interest part is constantly maintaining, like slowly it is either going up or the interest part is coming down. But we are not trying to reduce it drastically, whereas in other companies like Cosmo or Polyplex or any other company, their interest, suppose if they are making profits, their interest rates are coming down drastically, financial costs. We are always maintaining like that. What could be the reason, sir, and what?
So because we are the ones who undertook major capacity expansion program 2 years back, and we have taken on the debt to finance those investments. So if you see last 3 years, our debts have gone up because of, you know, substantial investments made in new CapEx plan, and that's where the interest rate has gone up as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Because if you see some of the other peers, they, you know, I don't think so anybody in the industry in the last 2 years undertook the kind of expansion that we took, setting up four greenfield or brownfield, and one relocation, and, you know, all this costs money. And as I explained that, you know, the markets have also helped us, the capacity utilization levels across even the new investments look to be pretty decent at this stage, even, you know, to begin with. And it has done us well in terms of, and those are reflected in about close to about 40% increase in the top line, and 35% increase in the PAT levels.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Yusuf Nasrullah for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today, and we look forward to staying in touch in future quarters. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of UFlex Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.